Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and it's lovely to be here. It's lovely to be doing this podcast. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It is amazing to be doing this podcast. Now, this is the podcast where I just talk about whatever I feel like, and it's very unprofessional and it's very random. And today I thought I'm going to talk about something called KSW. And you're probably wondering what KSW is. And you might have seen the title saying, what is KSW? Well, KSW, sadly, if you're over it, if you listen to the previous podcast and you're sick of me talking about Scientology, well, sorry, this is another one. It's another Scientology one. I'm sorry. But I told you this podcast, I'll just do whatever I want. So that's KSW stands for Keeping Scientology Working, and it's a very important thing written by L. Ron Hubbard that Scientologists know about, and it's a big deal, and I want to talk about it because it has a lot of information in it, and I can explain how the church has. KSW lays out certain rules that the church has to follow, or Scientologists have to follow, and basically I'm going to talk about how this has been violated by the church, and because it's really interesting. You just read it, and you can just elaborate on, just go into stories on just reading it about what's going on with Scientology. So I'm sorry to do another Scientology episode, but this is a bit different. This is at least this one, compared to the other ones, this one we're actually hearing something written by L. Ron Hubbard, whereas all the other ones I just talked about Scientology, so you didn't actually get to hear, you know, stuff written by the person who created the religion. It's kind of like, you know, you're talking a lot about Christianity and you don't read anything that Jesus said. Well, here we're reading something that L. Ron Hubbard said, okay? Now, I didn't warn you, but there's something very special thing I have to warn you guys about. It's very important. Now, remember, if you hear this noise, don't be alarmed. That is just me having a sip of green tea. Okay? So, you might hear this throughout the podcast. Now, this one also is very likely to go on to an hour. But let's just see how it goes. Okay? So, I'll explain again sort of what this KSW is. It stands for Keeping Scientology Working, and L. Ron Hubbard wrote it in 1965, and then he rewrote it in 1970, and then he rewrote it in 1980. And the reason he released it again and again is because people weren't applying it, okay? They weren't following these rules. And just basically, just to give you an idea, what it talks about is it's saying keeping Scientology working, so keeping the religion working, right? And it basically says, you know, you do these courses and these therapies and all this sort of stuff, and you do it correctly, right? Because if you do it wrong, you run into problems, okay? That's essentially what this whole thing is talking about, okay? And it's like he's written it because he's like, crap, there's problems in the church. People have been making mistakes, so I release this thing. And it's quite passionate. You can tell when we read it out. And he's saying, get these things right, fix up these mistakes, do this. And so he wrote many things in Scientology that were like rules and like, you know, do this and but this one's the biggest one. And this one is one that the new, when I told you the history of Scientology where this new leader took over after L. Ron Hubbard died and he was very strict and he's got anger problems and he made their religion worse, right? One of the big things he did was he also applied this KSW thing. But here's the problem. He applied it too much. He went insane on it. Like, he went insanely. You know how someone can, like, have a rule and they can lay down a rule and say, you got to follow this rule, right? But then some people can take that rule and just take it way too far, and it just causes all these problems, right? I'm trying to think of an example. Okay, well, let's just say someone's heard something like, you should avoid, hold on, you shouldn't have sugar, right? You shouldn't eat sugar, which is fair enough because it's not really that good for you and that sort of stuff. But then someone gets a hold of that and they take it really seriously and they're just like really passionate and it's like, I'm not going to have sugar. And then they can go around like a Nazi and start like trying to eradicate all the sugar there is in the world. And they can, they always avoid sugar. And they, every time they go to eat anything, they spend 10 hours inspecting the food going, this has got sugar in it. And they just take this thing way too far and it ends up causing more problems. By having that, if they had never heard it in the first place, you know what I mean? It causes, they're actually better off just having sugar than trying to avoid it, like a nutcase, because it just caused way more problems for them. Do you know what I mean? There are people in this world that are really literal and take things really seriously. Okay, I'll give you another example, right? It's a better example to help you understand. I knew someone who did this, right? And I did it for just a little bit, but not as crazy as other people. But okay, in Scientology, you learn that when you study something and you come across a word you don't know what it means, you look it up in a dictionary so you understand it, and then you continue reading and you'll understand what you're reading. Makes perfect sense. Fantastic. It's great. You're reading a story and someone says, blah, 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 communism, blah, 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 and you go, I don't really know what communism is. Like, I've seen, you know, a Russian flag, but like it's something in Russia. I don't really know what that is. Well, you look it up, communism, you try and understand what it is, right? And then you can understand what the person's saying. Whereas if you just skip past communism, the word communism, you keep on reading it and you're like, I just don't get what this person's talking about. It's because you didn't know what the word communism meant. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, it's a brilliant thing. I mentioned it in other podcasts, how it transforms your education because the problem is a lot of these things like religions and information in universities and information on the internet, all this sort of stuff, they use words that you don't really know what they mean. You know, we know what the word dickhead means and we know what the word chair means, but when they use words like communism and words like rebuttal and words like sikaka bada bada bada, because they use these ridiculous words, it really pisses me off, right? Because you go to study something and you're like, oh, great, I have to pull out the dictionary now and look up what these words mean. And universities are just disgusting with it because they spew out. Because it just became a popular thing in university writings and university teachings and all that to use fancy words. So they just spew out all these words and it stops people from being able to learn it. So things should be in everyday language, in simple everyday language as much as possible, not as complicated, as not as fancy or anything. People should be able to understand this shit. And so you come across some young 19-year-old kid who opens up a university book and they start reading it and they go, what the hell? And it just makes it horrible, you know? Whereas if it was in everyday speak, you know, people could actually understand it, you know? And they'll get something out of it. Like another example is you come across the word satire. And you're studying, you go, oh, I'm a 19-year-old kid and I want to study at university and oh, blah, 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 satire, blah, 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 blah. And you just don't get anything out of it because you got to go, what the fuck does satire mean? You know? And you have to look it up and you're like, oh, it's just like mocking commentary and it's just like mocking comedy. And it's just like, there's just so many words in this English language that you just don't know what they mean. Anyway. So that really annoys me, that, because it makes you study something. And a lot of people, if anyone here you're listening and you think you're dumb or you didn't get good marks at school, you're probably just a person that doesn't know what these words mean. Okay, I used to be one of them, but I got into a habit of looking up words in a dictionary and now I'm out of that situation of being like that. Because now I've looked up a lot of words and managed words and now I memorize them and know what they mean. But a lot of people don't know what these words mean. And you might be thinking, well, why does Joe Blow get A pluses and why does he know what these words mean? Well, he's probably a reading type of person. He's probably into words a lot and he probably does look up words in dictionary or ask people what they mean. And I actually had a friend in high school who got the ducks of the high school. We got the best marks in the whole high school when we finished. And guess what? He was excellent with words, and he knew what words meant. Like he was like you could. He was almost like a walking dictionary. You know, you could say what does this word mean? He'll go blah 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 blah, and it would sound like it's a definition straight out of a dictionary. You know, like he knows what these words mean. And anyway, so I know for sure this word thing is a really important thing. So I got a bit off topic about the whole word thing. But what I'm saying is, let's say you're doing Scientology and it says you come across words you don't know what they mean, look them up. Well, let's say you take someone who's really literal, who's really crazy and really takes that rule seriously, right? What do they then do? Well, they start reading something and they start going, oh, do I know what caused means, and do I know what great means, and do I know what tired means? And they end up just going crazy and like looking up all these words in a dictionary, and it takes them ages to read, and just causes them all these problems because they're so serious about this rule, right? So what I'm trying to say is, whenever it comes to anything, don't be serious. I really don't recommend that on anything. You know what I mean? It leads to problems. Don't be really Nazi and serious about things, because it just causes problems. So what happened is, this new leader took over the church, and he was a Scientologist and a really serious one. And of course, that just started screwing things up for the whole church, because he started changing the rules and making them stricter and being like real serious. And it just screwed up the religion and stopped it from growing and made it into a crazy cult. Like, seriously. And now, to anyone who wants to get involved with the church, I recommend doing it outside the church. There are plenty of good centers who recognize, plenty of good places who have nothing to do with the church, who recognize that a leader is crazy, David Miscavige, and they don't want to do anything, because he makes it hard on the Scientologists. I feel sorry for him. He makes them like work long hours, you know, and he makes them work really hard, and just it's not right what he does, but you know, because he takes so seriously the religion so seriously. Anyway, it's just such a ridiculous attitude to have, you know. Anyway, so what he did is he came across his Keeping Scientology document that L. Ron Hubbard wrote, and he took it really seriously, and of course, that just stuffed it up. That just caused problems. You know what I mean? He just took it too far. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it out for you to listen to, and I'll explain things to you, because I'm just going to assume you don't know anything about Scientology. And then I'll elaborate on how the church has violated this very special document. So it claims to be following it and taking it really seriously, but at the same time, it's not following it, and it's causing problems in the church. And that's why the church has all these problems, and you hear all this crazy stuff about it. All right, so here it is. Okay, now it says, Keeping Scientology Working. Now, it says, note, neglect of this policy letter, which is what this is called. By the way, if you don't know, this is another example. Do you know what policy is? Policy is rules that an organization follows. It's policy, rules. Do you see what I mean? Who the hell knows what policy means? You know, and intellectuals and people who read a lot, they'll know what policy means. But average Joes who just watch TV and who are like me when I was 19 years old, we don't really know what the word policy means, you know? Anyway, neglect of this policy letter has caused great hardships on staffs, has cost countless millions, and made it necessary in 1970 to engage in an all-out international effort to restore basic Scientology over the world. Okay, so it's saying, people not following these rules have just caused a lot of problems for the church, okay, and for just Scientology in general. Okay. He said, 5 years after I released this, he's saying, with me no longer managing the church, because this is when he stopped managing and left. See, the church fell to shit when he left, by the way, just to mention that. That's when it started. It actually signs of it going bad actually happened before this new leader took over. Because things started to go corrupt, and then he rose up in the corruption and became the new leader. So things were sort of bad, you know, for a 10-year period before he took over. Anyway, He says within 5 years after the issue of this PL, with me off the lines, violation had almost destroyed orgs. So it almost destroys orgs when you break these rules, which makes sense because in Scientology, you go into it and you do courses and you do spiritual counseling, and if you do it wrong, then you don't achieve those things. So then you leave and you go, this is shit. I'm not going to be a Scientologist. I'm not going to have fun here anymore. I'm not going to do this. This isn't fun, you know? So you just leave. It's kind of like you go to a karate teacher to learn karate and this teacher does some really crappy karate and barely even teaches you it. So obviously you leave and obviously the karate shop's going to go bankrupt because no one's going to go in there. So that's what he's talking about here. Quickie grades entered in. Quickie grades means doing Scientology faster than what it should be done. And denied gain to tens of thousands of people. So when you don't follow the rules, you don't get the benefits out of it, okay? Okay, I'm just going to skip some things that aren't necessary. He says, it is the business of every staff member to enforce it, to enforce these rules. Okay, special message. The following policy letter means what it says. It was true in 1965 when I wrote it. It was true in 1970 when I had it reissued. I'm reissuing it now in 1980 to avoid, again, slipping back into a period of omitted and quickied fundamental grade chart actions on cases, thereby denying gains and threatening the viability of Scientology and of orgs. Scientology will keep working only as long as you do your part to keep it working by applying this policy letter. So you've got to keep this policy, you've got to apply this, you know. And that's part of the reason why actually I decided to leave the church, because they were violating this policy letter. Okay, what I say in these pages has always been true. It holds true today, it would hold true in the year 2000, and it will continue to hold true from there on out. No matter where you are in Scientology, on staff or not, this policy letter has something to do with you. And it does, because it just screws up the whole of Scientology. But actually, I mean, Scientology in general is actually probably going all right, because there's stuff outside the church. There's a Church of Scientology where things might not necessarily be going that well, but then there's Scientology where heaps of people are applying this policy letter and are called independent Scientologists, and they're probably going all right. Okay, ready? We have some time since passed the point of achieving uniformly workable technology. The only thing now is getting the technology applied. If you can't get the technology applied, so technology sort of is just referring to like this spiritual technology, these therapies and stuff to help people. If you can't get the technology applied, then you can't deliver what's promised. So you can't get these cool winds that I was telling you about, where people can leave their bodies and float around as spiritual beings, and also where people can like communicate with their minds and do all these things that, you know, that apparently are possible for us spiritually to do. You do these courses and it helps you achieve these states and just happiness and peacefulness, right? So when you don't follow these rules, you can't get these wins, these cool things. It's as simple as that. If you can get the technology applied, you can deliver what's promised. Okay. The only thing you can be upbraided for by students, so you know, who the hell knows what upbraided means? Okay, I know what it means, 'cause I looked this up, but it means to like cop shit for. So the only thing you can be cop shit for by students or PCs is no results. So if you're in a church that's not getting good results, you're going to be copping shit. Anyway, when people aren't getting the result they want, then they're unhappy and they, you know, have a go. The trouble spots occur only when there are no results. Now, this is a really big line. The trouble spots occur only when there are no results. Now, obviously, you look at the Church of Scientology, right? And there's obviously a lot of trouble spots going on. There's obviously a lot of trouble spots. A lot. Now, from reading this, you could conclude that there's troubles in the church because people aren't getting results, and they're not getting the results because they aren't applying this KSW. You could say that, and I'd probably believe it. Okay? Now, it gets more interesting. So he says here, trouble spots occur only when there are no results. Very interesting, you know? Attacks from governments or monopolies occur only when there are no results or bad results. Now, this is a very big line because, yes, there have been troubles with Scientology, the Church of Scientology, and governments giving them troubles and stuff. Now, you know, I mean, it's from what I've seen, it's because they've been doing dodgy things and corrupt things, right? But what he's saying here is that it's because people have been getting no results or bad results, right? And so maybe people within a church have been getting no results and then they start doing bad things and corrupt things, you know? So it leads on. So it's like, if this rules, this KSW was applied and then people were getting good results, then they wouldn't go out and do bad things within the church that can get them in trouble by the government. You know what I mean? This is really interesting because the current church has attacks from governments and it has attacks from monopolies. So what monopolies are like businesses that are in total control of an industry. So let's say you've got like an oil industry and a certain company is like the only one that that sells oil and then just totally like dominating that industry. And so he's saying that when Scientology gets attacked by like monopolies, like these big businesses, right? And he's kind of referring to, I think, like the drug and medical industry, because they were sort of at heads with Scientology, because what Scientology was doing is it was people getting healthier and getting cured of things without requiring drugs. They were doing Scientology. So, of course, the drug companies and all that sort of stuff, they don't like Scientology because they're losing customers through Scientology. So they want to attack Scientology, right? So that's a little bit strange here because, you know, you'd think that regardless of if people, you'd think that if you're getting bad results, then you wouldn't get attacked by monopolies because you're not a threat to them. But if you're getting good results, then you get attacked by them. But maybe when you're getting good results by applying these rules, people within the church are more peaceful and aren't aggressive in the world and just are cool spiritual beings that don't piss off businesses. You know what I mean? And don't cause problems for businesses. But when they do Scientology wrongly by not applying these rules, and they get aggressive and they're just like, they're not really becoming it, not really getting the results that they're supposed to get, then they also start causing problems for businesses in that they say stuff like, you know, Scientology is good, man, and drug companies are bad. Like what Tom Cruise said. Like when Tom Cruise was like, back in like 2005 when he had a news interview with someone and he was talking about antidepressants and he was like, man, listen to me, man. Like it was essentially, he was like, man, listen, you know, antidepressants are bad, drugs are bad, right? So then, you know, he's bad-mouthing the drug companies. So then obviously the drug companies are like, who's this Tom Cruise guy and who is Scientology? Who is Scientologists who don't like drugs or whatever? You know, we're going to take them on because they're stuffing up our business, right? And so then they start attacking the church because they see the church as an enemy. Whereas if Tom Cruise went on as like this guy that's like, yeah, I've done this therapy and I've achieved this great estate and I'm really cool and peaceful. And he went on and said, look, I don't recommend taking antidepressants because I don't think they're healthy, and didn't get all angry and aggressive, right? Then he wouldn't, and didn't really badmouth the drug companies and attack them. Then they're not going to be that keen on attacking the church. Do you know what I mean? So what I'm suggesting here is that because Tom Cruise was involved with the church. I'm saying that he didn't get correct Scientology, therefore he didn't get the really good results, right? So then he goes on TV after doing Scientology and he's like, yeah, man, I've done Scientology, I'm really good, like drug company's bad, I'm angry, I'm full of anger. And it's just like, why are you full of anger, Tom? Like, I thought your whole religion's supposed to get rid of that. You know what, that's the whole point of Scientology, you get rid of bad emotions and all that sort of stuff. So what I'm suggesting here is that Tom didn't really achieve, he got no results. That's what I'm saying. And I know this sounds all out there, this whole podcast and everything I talk about is out there. But I'm just saying, join me, take the red pill, join me on a journey down the rabbit hole, and let's talk about these things. And I'm not saying everything I'm saying is true, but I do think a lot of it's true. And let's just go on this adventure. And at least it's interesting. At the end of the day, it's something interesting to talk about. Because I know you'll be talking about, what the hell are you talking about, Tom Cruise and drug companies and churches and shit? Like, what the hell are you on about? This is just so out there, what you're talking about. But just follow me on this, because I think this is good. So what this is saying is, it says here, attacks from governments or monopolies occur only when there are no results or bad results. So why do you get attacked by governments or monopolies when you get bad results? Because people get bad results, Scientologists get bad results, they go out there on TV and they start going, because Scientologists don't like drugs and drug companies, and I'm the same, I don't like them either. But they go on there and they say, drug companies are bad, man, let's take them on, let's blow up these drug companies, yeah! And then, like, the drug companies start going, oh, we've got to attack Scientology, what the hell are these crazy Scientologists? Whereas if they said it more casually, like, look, I don't think taking antidepressants is the best way to go about it, because it can cause illnesses in the long term, and it messes with your mind, and it can be considered a mild poison. You know, you're not going to cause all these dramas, you know? And it's almost like when he wrote this in 1965, was predicting that someone like Tom Cruise would come about in the future, you know? So when you got a church that's not applying these rules, not following it, you know, you create little mini Tom Cruises that go out there and become aggressive and start causing problems. And then the next minute the church is getting attacked and you're like, shit, man, we didn't order. And we're like, shit, this guy's Tom's causing problems for us. Like, you know, we must have made a mistake with him. Like, what the hell are we doing? And you find out you weren't following the Keeping Scientology Working. So that's really interesting, that point. Attacks from governments or monopolies occur only when there are bad or no results. And it's a big statement for the church. It's saying, hold on, the church admits they're getting attacked, the new leader admits he's getting attacked by governments and monopolies, and there's always attacks going on in badness. And it's just like, well, in your very important document, it says here when there are bad and no results. So you're admitting that there's attacks, so there's obviously no results and bad results. And I have been involved with the church, and I can assure you that there are lots of cases of no results or bad results. Okay, so no wonder why the church is having all these problems. And that's part of the reason why I left, because it's like, I want to go to a better organization. I don't know if they call themselves churches, but they call them like independent Scientology centers, like, and free zone Scientology places, like, that's what they're called. You know, I want to go there because I don't want to get bad results or no results. By the way, on a totally different topic, I just want to mention how much I love spaghetti bolognese. It is great. Like, if you get good pasta and a good brand of sauce, Barilla is a good brand, and good cheese, I don't know, it's really good. Had it for dinner. Anyway, the problem is it's just addictive. I can just scoff down food nonstop. Anyway, I actually read this. I read this when I was in the church, and I read this after I left the church and found out about the corruption that was going on. And when I found out more about the history of the church and the corruption, what's going on, I could read this a lot easier, and this whole policy led, I could understand a lot more and made a lot more sense than when I was in the church. I didn't know anything about it, and I was just like, oh, okay, I guess you just follow the rules so things are done correctly. But I didn't understand these things like attacks from the governments or monopolies or no results or bad results. Like, I didn't fully understand that. And now, like, no results. I'm picturing a Scientologist in my head right now who's involved with the church who, I can see bad results in him. You know, I know I've got information to back it up. So that's a really big line, that one there. That one there is like, you read that line and it's like, well, that's it. The church is not following this thing right there. Because the church says it's following this thing. It's like obsessed with following this thing. It's just like, well, if you read that line, bad results, and there's all these attacks by the government, you're not following it. And so far from all my research into it, yeah, they're not following it. They're just blatantly violating it. All right, now, wow, 30 minutes in. Oh, my God. Okay, I told you this would definitely be an hour long. I want to see if I definitely want to keep it under an hour, okay? All right, we're going to continue reading. Therefore, the road before Scientology is clear and its ultimate success is assured if the technology is applied. So you correctly apply it, you know. And it says here it's a job of all people who are working at the church to get the technology applied. Okay, then he says something, he goes, getting the correct technology applied consists of having the correct technology, which is number one. Number two is knowing the technology. Now, hold on, there's 10 here, but what I want to say is I want to comment on the first one already. So it says getting the correct technology applied consists of, number one, having the correct technology. Now, so how would you have the correct technology? Well, you'd have correct books and you'd have correct courses. So the technology is there. It says this is how you do the spiritual technique, you know, in the books, and that's how you do it. You know, that's having the technology. So this guy invented this technology, and so having it, right? Now, here's the problem, right? In the church, when this new leader took over, they started claiming that there was mistakes made in the technology, and they needed to re-release it with its fixed up version and its corrections. Now, here's the problem. It says here when he released it in 65, in 70, and in 1980 when he released it again, it says, hold on, no, sorry, I can elaborate on this point later. Sorry, I'll continue this point later because he actually refers, I can, when I hit this other line. Anyway, sorry, I'll get onto that later. Okay, so these 10 dot points. I'll go over them again. 10 dot points. Getting the correct technology applied consists of, number one, having the correct technology. Number two, knowing the technology. Number three, knowing it is correct. Number four, teaching correctly the correct technology. Five, applying the technology. Six, seeing that the technology is correctly applied. Seven, hammering out of existence incorrect technology. So that'll be an example if someone's got a book that's wrong. It's been printed wrong or something. So you'd obviously throw that book out because it would teach people how to do Scientology wrong. Okay. Okay. Seven, hammering out of existence incorrect technology. Number eight, knocking out incorrect applications. So, you know, that would be stuff like stopping students for incorrectly doing things, exercises wrong. And then number nine, closing the door on any possibility of incorrect technology. Okay, whatever that is, but that's obviously like trying to make it so that you permanently can't have anything incorrect. And then number 10, closing the door on incorrect applications. So that would be like firing anyone who just always does things incorrectly. It's just like you close the door, you're gone, and then no more is this person going to apply things incorrectly, and then you have that problem solved. Okay, now he goes on to what I was talking before, okay? So that's the 10 dot points, and he says, number one above has been done. Have the correct technology. So, number one's been achieved. So, in 65, 70, and 80, they have the correct, or was last released in 1980. So, but definitely in 1980 when it was released, they have the correct technology. Now, how can someone, which is what the new leader did, re-release courses and books and claim that there was mistakes in them when in 1980 the founder said in this very document that they have the correct technology. How can he get away with that? Well, what he did is he claimed that L. Ron Hubbard saw there was mistakes, apparently there was mistakes in editing and that somehow, you know, when L. Ron Hubbard was alive, they just released books and they released teachings that that were incorrect, and they just somehow made a mistake, and some evil person was the editor, and they put in like little mistakes and changed things and stuffed things up, right? So when L. Ron Hubbard was alive, he saw, you know, what had been printed and said, oh, you know, reprint this with the correction made because they made a mistake in the editing, right? And they didn't get around to it until this new leader took over, and he goes, yes, so we're following LRH's order and we're re-releasing this with the correct version because originally it was incorrect. Now, here's the thing. I don't kind of believe that, because he said in 1980 that they have the correct technology. Now, he didn't say, number one, having the correct technology has been achieved except for a few editing mistakes, which I'm working on to correct now in the next few weeks. No, he said in 1980 they have the correct technology, and he released in 65 and 70 as well. So, you know, they had the correct technology, you know. So when you see stuff by the new leader, it's like, so you're telling me it's incorrect? What's the deal with it being incorrect? Like, I mean, but he said in 1980, you're reading right here, they have the correct technology. And then you're telling me that they don't have the correct technology? Like, so when he wrote this policy letter in 65, 70, and 80, he was just lying? He was just saying they have the correct technology when they don't? You know? I don't know, I just smell a rat. It just doesn't seem quite right. If I wanted to change the technology, right, for whatever reason, right, if I want to change it, I would do something, and if I want to change it after it says here, don't change it, and it's all correct, I would come up with some sort of bullshit lie like that, like, oh, there was editing mistakes, and there was other problems with it and stuff, and yeah, it needs to be re-released. You'd come up with some backstory like that to get around the fact that it's written in here that they have the correct technology. And also, the whole point of this KSW, this policy we're reading, is to get Scientology correct. So if he's going to release this, right, he would obviously work really hard if there were editing mistakes. He'd obviously work really hard to get them corrected, because he passed away in 86, right? So he'd obviously work really hard to get those things corrected while he was alive. He wouldn't just write a note saying, fix up mistake on page 10 from that book. That's incorrect technology. They incorrectly read my writings, my handwriting. Fix up that mistake. Okay, go fix it off, Joe, and then just send off a note, and then that's it, done. Like, it's a real casual thing, and then he just forgets about it, and then only gets done, like, 20 years later. It's just like, I'm pretty sure that he was obviously really keen on getting Scientology correct, and this, you read this and you understand how passionate L. Ron Hubbard was in the getting it working and having it good. So obviously, if there was mistakes in it, then he would be hurrying up to say, no, reprint the new book, get it correct, blah, 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 correct this, correct that, blah, 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 blah. In fact, you get it all correct, and then you would write this thing that says, follow the rules, we have the correct technology, which is probably what he did. You know, there probably were some mistakes made, and he got them corrected, and then he released out this thing and claimed and said, we have the correct technology. That makes more sense to me than he says, we have the correct technology, which is a lie, and then has orders for people to re-release things and they haven't re-released them. You know what I mean? I would think that he would... I think that while he's alive, he would be chasing up mistakes made in his own things. And what I think as well that's weird about it as well is that, you know, it's just weird to think that an author would make mistakes in their own books. It just doesn't quite make sense, you know? He wrote the books. Like, it's just weird. I don't know, you gotta smell a rat here. Anyway, so that's pretty questionable. So when I left the church and I saw this and it said it had the correct technology, I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Because in the church, I was told just recently they'd corrected the stuff. And it's just like, but he's saying in 1980 that they had it all correct back then. And if you speak to the people who have left the church, they all get material from back in the 70s and stuff, because they don't trust any of the stuff that's new from the church because it's been changed. And this stuff has happened all throughout history with Jesus and other religions and stuff. These spiritual people come along, have information, tell everyone it, and certain people change it. Like, apparently they took reincarnation out of the Bible and all this other stuff. They change it to benefit themselves. And there's evidence to suggest that the reason the new leader changed things was he was trying to resell them to people who were already involved in the church to make money off sales and to get copyright credits and stuff like that. Anyway, so the next point is two has been achieved by many, and number two is knowing the technology. Okay, so a lot of people know the technology. Three is achieved by the individual applying the correct technology in a proper manner and observing that it works that way. And so three is knowing it is correct. So when you apply it correctly, and you see what it does to people, then you know that this Scientology is correct. Hence why when these new releases came out saying that there was mistakes in the past, a lot of switched on people actually left the church because they were like, but it's correct. You know, not only does he say it in this KSW release in 1980, but also they've done it to people and they've seen that it's correct. So they're like, but this is strange because this is correct. This is not incorrect. Like, why is he re-releasing it? You know, I understand he's putting it in a nice new package and a nice new cover of a book and stuff, but what's he talking about? So that's why, like, when there was big exoduses from the church, there was when the new leaders sort of took over initially, or got involved when new management or whatever, before he was officially lead. Anyway, there was a rift then, because there's also changes. Like, it was initially when the church became corrupt, like around the early 80s, and big things happened. So there was a big amount of people leaving Scientology. Then there was the new leader re-releasing the books, and I think he re-released some books in like 1990, and then there were some people who left because they were like, what the hell's going on? What do you mean you're re-releasing the books? Then in 1996, the new leader released this thing called, which was like a base big correction called Golden Age of Tech, and it was like him saying there was mistakes in the past and we're fixing it up, right? And a lot of people left then because they were like, what the hell's going on? Like, this is, what do you mean it's incorrect? And they were probably applying this policy and thinking, why is this new guy changing things? And then he did it again. He released the books again in 2007 and said there was all these mistakes, more mistakes to be found out, and he re-released them and got all these people to rebuy the books and that. And more people left then because they were like, they smelt a rat. They're like, what the hell is going on? He's re-released the book a second time. He's re-releasing it another time. Like, but I thought the first time was corrected. And then he did it again for he did Golden Age of Tech 2 in 2014. And he re-released it and said, now we've officially got it correct. And everything's, and so again, there was a huge amount of people that were like, what the hell? Like, who am I to believe now? Like, what do you mean that it's incorrect? So that was when there were periods of a large amount of people leaving, because they were just like, what the hell? And when he made those changes, he thought they were going to make people stay in the church because they're like, yeah, these cool new releases and it's good. And it did work on some people, but a lot of the smart people were switched on and left. And that's why the church sort of suffers from a brain drain, because a lot of people who are smart just leave because they're like, they work out what's going on. They're like, this is crap. All right. So, I'm just going to skip some of these points. Okay, no, I'll go through them all because there's so much to talk about. Okay, so we said, now number four is being done daily successfully in most parts of the world. Number four is teaching correctly the correct technology. So he's saying people are teaching it correctly every day. And if they had incorrect books back then how could they teach it correctly every day? Because the books they were learning from must have been dodgy. So, I mean, there's just so many reasons. It's just so questionable that there was mistakes, you know. Number five, which is applying technology. Five is consistently accomplished daily. So people apply the technology, the spiritual stuff. It's done, achieved a lot. Six, which is seeing that the technology is correctly applied, is achieved by instructors and supervisors consistently. So people do that a lot. They make sure that things are correctly applied. People are doing things correctly. Seven, which is hammering out of existence incorrect technology. Now, this is exactly the thing that I'm saying. So the stuff that the new leader, Dave Miscavige, had done in the 90s and just in the 2000s, the teens or whatever you call them, so they were attempts by him to so-called attempts by him to hammer out incorrect technology, like incorrect books and all that sort of stuff. Yet apparently they were correct, though. I mean, this thing here in 1980 says that they were correct. And so he was trying to hammer out incorrect technology. That's what he claimed, right? So number seven is done by a few but is a weak point, hammering out of existence incorrect technology. Now, he released this in 65, 70, 80. Now, if there were editing mistakes and all this sort of crap in books that he'd written, obviously he would, because he wrote this and he said you should do this, he would do it himself. He would try and get rid of the incorrect books and all this sort of stuff. But there's no talk about that, sir. There was no... He wouldn't just let these books hang around. You know what I mean? Especially if he says you should hammer out of existing incorrect technology. But apparently he let them stay. Why? Because they're not incorrect. They're correct. So again, that's another strange point. It's like this new leader is just very questionable. Okay, number eight, which is knocking out incorrect applications. So obviously, like, I guess doing the therapy wrong on people. It says eight is not worked on hard enough. So people are sort of doing the therapy incorrect and, you know, it's not worked on hard. There must be a few cases of people not doing correctly. And then number nine, which is closing the door on any possibility of incorrect technology. So, stopping people from doing things wrong. And nine is impeded by the reasonable attitude of the not quite so bright. Now, this is kind of the attitude that the leader has. He's not quite so bright, but he says, oh, yes, there's been made editing mistakes and, hold on. So you look around the church and you see people with incorrect technology, like the new course packs that the new leader has left. And you go, if you're a member of the church, you go, oh, yeah, no, that's okay, you know. That's like, you know, I'm going to be reasonable about that. Yeah, that's because there was mistakes in the past. Sorry, this is just so in-depth, this policy letter that's just like, I mean, I don't know if I want to even elaborate on that one. But if you think you understand it, then you understand it. That's cool. But it's just like, I mean, I could just talk forever, like trying to explain things. But what it's saying is that, you know, a lot of people are reasonable about these changes that this new leader has done. And they think, oh, yeah, I'm just being reasonable. Oh, yeah, because there was editing mistakes in the past. And it's just like, no, these are new things that are being added and changed to, and you're just being, you're just accepting them? That's pretty questionable. Then it says, number 10, closing the door on incorrect application. 10 is seldom done with enough ferocity. So part of the reason to close the door on incorrect applications would be to get rid of people, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Sorry, I just don't feel like elaborating on that one. I do what I feel like on this podcast. All right, now, it says 7, 8, 9, and 10, which are those last few points, the hammering out of the existence of incorrect technology and knocking out incorrect applications and those sort of stuff, are the only places Scientology can bog down in any area. Now, that's what's happened with the church. It's bogged down, right? That's how it's been. It's been bogged down for a while, and that's why it's corrupting and getting attacks from the governments and all that sort of stuff. Why has that been the case? Well, because it hasn't been hammering out of existence incorrect technology. Everyone's just been accepting the new leader's crap, and it's been making things worse. And it's knocking out incorrect applications. Everyone's been applying the new leader's way of doing things. They haven't been knocking it out. They've just been accepting it. Because he cloaked it in a way that was, that said, L. Ron Hubbard said to do this. So he's written KSW 1980, and now he's dead. And then you say, oh, by the way, when he was alive, he said that we need to make these changes. And it's like, I don't know about that. Like, how can we trust you? You know what I mean? It's just like, if this guy's like, I was one of the only people that were around him when he was an old man and dying, like, you just have to trust him. It's just like, he could just write notes and pretend like LRH, and apparently it's what people say, some of the stuff he was sort of doing, is that he was handling letters from the leader, and he was just changing them and just making them whatever he wanted to make them. It's just like, I don't trust him, you know what I mean? So I'd rather just go by what I don't trust that he says, this is what LRH said. I'd rather just get the stuff that LRH wrote before he died and go off that, because I'm pretty sure he said in 1980 it was correct. So I think that's much safer. All right. Now, gosh, what I was up to. So he's saying numbers 7, 8, 9, and 10 are where Scientology can bog down. And that's exactly right. That's why the church is bogged down having all these problems, because it's just been, it hasn't been closing the door on incorrect technology. It's been opening it up and allowing it, saying, you know, oh, there's special notes that allow for, you know, like it's saying, oh, yes, we can follow orders from the new leader and he can say how things are and all this sort of stuff. I think anyone who really is switched on and knows about the history and is a real fan of L. Ron Hubbard would end up just leaving the church, because they're just like, you know, I'm not. It's no longer the Church of Scientology. It's the Church of Miscavige. You know what I mean? That's what some people say, and that's what I agree as well. It's been changed. So that's what's wrong. He doesn't say here. He says 7, 8, 9, 10 are the only places Scientology can bog down in any area. So he's saying these last few points. He doesn't say the first one, having the correct technology, is where they're bogging down on, because that isn't, because he's saying in 1980, there's another time again in this policy letter where he's saying we have the correct technology, we have it. Another time he's alluded to saying we have the correct technology. Okay? So for all evidence is suggesting that by 1980, they had the correct technology. And also, I remember that there's a lecture you can go watch on the internet where one of the executives, it's at the L. Ron Hubbard death briefing, where they brief Scientologists and tell them about how L. Ron Hubbard passed away in 1986. A dude gets up to the stage and he goes, he stands there and he goes, one of the managers, like high up people, his name's Pat Broker, I think, and he goes, we have 99.9% of the tech. We have 99.9% of it. Whereas if Elrond Hubbard had written notes saying there's lots of mistakes and things need to be re-released and fixed up, then he would get up there and say his speech and he would say, we have 90% of the tech and there's just about 10% that's wrong and we need to get it fixed up. But he said, no, we have 99.9% of the tech. And he goes, I don't know why he's saying that, because I think he was implying there's a little bit that's secretive or that they haven't released yet or something of the tech. But he again, he said in 1986 that they've got the tech, and Elrond Hubbard 980 says that they have the correct technology, yet the other guy says that there's, you know, all these mistakes and stuff, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just questionable. Just checking through stuff is worth reading out. He says here, people defend themselves against anything they confront, good or bad, and seek to make it wrong. Now, I've noticed that with some people, they have this. Anything you hit them with, I've got a friend where anything you suggest to him or hit him with, he instantly is just negative. You know, it's just with people with anger problems. They just attack and go, oh, that's wrong. Or you say to them, you know, have you ever noticed there's some people who are just negative and anything you suggest to them, like maybe do this or check out this religion or watch this movie, and it's like, oh, that's a crap movie. Oh, that's not right. That's blah, blah, blah. They're just constantly negative and putting things down. So the new leader, I reckon, suffers a bit from this, because here's the technology, 1980, it's all correct, here you go, here's the technology, you're the new leader of the church, and he sees it and he goes, no, it's got mistakes, it's wrong. No, it's got editing mistakes, it's wrong. You know what I mean? He says, Elrond Hubbard says here, people tend to do that, right? They tend to see things and make them wrong. And so this new leader, I reckon, personally suffers from this, because he's got an anger problem issue. And I noticed that it's anger people that tend to do this a lot, that he obviously, like, looked over the books and was like, no, that's wrong, this is wrong. That's just his habit of seeing things. Okay. Now, I'm coming up to the end of the hour. He says, thus, we as Scientologists and as an organization must be very alert to 7, 8, 9, and 10. And that's what you have to be alert to, like these last few points, like hammering out of existence of incorrect technology, and like you have to be wary of incorrect things. And that's why people left the church and started up their own orgs, because they were like, what the hell's going on? Like, this is just crazy what they're doing in the church. Like, this is just... So what you're left is with people who aren't that switched on, and people who can get tricked by a new leader, and you just have a big brain drain of not that many smart people. And the less smart people you have, the less they are good with teaching the courses and all the therapy and all that sort of stuff. So people come in to do it, like Tom Cruise, and they don't get that good at counselling. And not only has it been changed, but also the people who are doing the counselling on them and who work at the church aren't the best, because all the good people are left. And so they get the counselling and they don't get the good results, and then they go out bagging drug companies and stuff and causing problems. And, you know, I know Tom Cruise is passionate and is, like, wanting to stand up for things like fighting drug companies and other things that are incorrect with the world. And I really like that attitude. It's a really... I mean, I like how he's passionate and all those sort of things, but it's just like, Tom, you know, you're being a bad representation of your religion, you know, because you just look like an angry person. Like, you're supposed to be a high up spiritual person, because you achieve these higher levels, so-called high levels. yet you don't seem really happy and like a high up Buddhist that's really spiritual and wise. You just seem like you're getting angry. You seem like someone who you just talk to on a subway that's pissed off about something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting annoyed with things, but, you know, it's a bit questionable. Okay? All I know is that the better and better, you know, the spiritual is, the more evolved you come, the more peaceful and more happy you are. And you, to me, come across as, like, in that interview, you're probably not like this now. I'm talking about, he did this interview like 10 years ago. But back when you did that interview, you know, I think he was being a bad representation of Scientology, and he was looking angry and stuff, like, damn, psych drugs and stuff, you know. It's just like, that to me is someone who's got problems with anger. And I've seen him in other interviews as well, and he seems like an angry person. And there's a lot of people in Scientology who are like that, yet they're supposed to be doing these courses that make them not like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, why are they like that? Well, because they've been getting incorrect technology, because people have been violating this thingo and allowing the new leader to change the tech and stuff. And personally, I think Tom Cruise is aware of all this by now, because he's gone quiet on Scientology. I haven't heard from him for years about anything about Scientology at all. Didn't see any Scientology events or anything when I was involved in it. And like Church of Scientology, I didn't see anything, like some huge events, like very, very big ones that, like, if you're a passionate, if you're any sort of Scientologist would go to, especially Tom Cruise, but he didn't go to them. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you can't go along, because he's a smart guy, Tom Cruise, he is. You can't go along that long without finding out the truth of what's actually going on. So I think he might have found out the truth, and he's just quietly left because, you know, if he goes all public, the church can start secretly attacking him and causing problems for him. So he just would rather just peacefully just not do Scientology. And if people ask him, I go, yeah, I'm a Scientologist. And yeah, he might even lie and go, yeah, I'm involved with the church, but he just never goes to anything at the churches, and he probably does the councils at these independent places and privately does it. All right, well, look, an hour's passed and I haven't got to the end of this keeping Scientology working policy. And there's more probably to talk about it, so I'll probably just do another podcast on it. I'm about halfway through doing it, but there's interesting stuff I have to say, so I'm just sorry if you're a fan and you're just sick of me talking about Scientology, but look, I'm telling you, this is a really interesting religion. Like, imagine you if you come across something, right? There are a lot of people who talk about past lives and being able to leave their body and astral walk or exteriorize. It's like you pop out of your body and travel and stuff. You know, this religion is very interesting because it's like, it sort of says that if you do this course, you can achieve it. And I've spoken to people who have achieved these things, and that's really interesting. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather, instead of watching the football, I'd much rather do some therapy that can make me pop out of my body and I just float around on the ceiling in the room. Like, that to me is so cool, you know? And these aren't crazy people who are making this stuff up, who told me these things. Like, normal people. Like, this can be achieved. And that's what Buddha achieved. And people, I know there's some people listening who have done it. Right? It's just really rare. But these things can be done and people can remember their past lives. This is really big. This is really interesting. And that's why I'm talking about Scientology. Because this is like, you get into it and you open up this whole area of life. And suddenly it's like, instead of just working 9 to 5 and being a slave and just watching sport on TV, and I don't know, I found that really, really boring, right? It's like, wow, you can fly, you know, and wow, you can communicate with you can telepathically communicate, and wow, you can find out about what you're doing in your past life. And I don't know, to me that seems very, very interesting and cool, and I would want to do that. So that's why I'm talking about this. It's important. All right, so I'll continue with this KSW next time. All right? So that's it for me, Andy Knox, the Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Signing out. Ni hao!